children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And as usual, our show is brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find them on the internet at www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. And if you're a new listener, let me first explain that that is all natural skin nutrition. And it is sneakily disguised as a lotion and lip balm and shaving creams and things like that. It's actually skin nutrition, and it's really wonderful stuff. So if you haven't tried that, please do give it a try. And again, you can find them at www.hydramay.com, H-Y-D-R-A-M-E.com. And our guest tonight is Reverend Daya Devi Doolin of the Doolin Healing Sanctuary and Yoga Center. She is a Unity minister, spiritual counselor, and healer, award-winning author of metaphysical books for children and adults. Oh, gosh, she does so many different things. Certified body talk practitioner, matrix energetics, Yasui Reiki master teacher, registered yoga alliance teacher. And somehow she manages to stay cheerful. And so I am really happy to have you on the show. And thank you so much for coming on to help us all to be in better spirits, Daya.
Thank you very much.
Daya,
it's my
sorry.
Honor. That's fine. It's my honor and my joy. you'll get the hang of it.
Well, you know, we try not to say the die word, you know, in medicine.
Yes.
It's one of those little medical things. Anyway, so we're going to have some fun tonight. As I told you when we talked last night, there are a lot of people out there that really need some help. You know, they are just really hurting. So if you would first kind of give your background and let people know where you're coming from and the different things that you've had to be in. Because, you know, the first thing people do is say, oh, yeah, well, that's fine for her, but, you know, not in my circumstance. And I think with your background, it would be really beneficial for people to understand that you do know where a lot of them are coming from. And, you know, you've been through the ringer and you found your way out. So let me give you the floor for so many minutes here, and go ahead and let us know, where are you from? What happened?
I noticed when my mother and father were separating that I had a desire to, and the knowing that I could bring them back together again. I really deeply felt that, and I was about 7 or so when that happened. And so I made up stories that one of them might have said something loving about the other one, and the other one said something loving about the other one, and I arranged for them to believe that one of them had asked for a date and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that they could get together because I felt that they really loved each other, but it never worked out. But what did work out was they were always in close proximity to each other so that we could, my sister and brother and I could visit my dad on the weekends. And I just, that desire to help people to go beyond what they thought, you know, they were experiencing, it's always been there. So that just transcended where I was, or helped me to transcend from where I was to feeling like I was a victim and things like that. And mm-hmm. It just carried over into my asking questions of spirit, like I would say things like, how do I know when I know what I think I should know? And then the deeper question would be, how do I know that I know that I know what I'm supposed to know? And the questions would go like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that I asked, which I did get the answer to, I mean, a lot of questions I got answers for, but when I asked the question about why do some of my goals manifest and why do other goals not manifest, what formula is there that I'm using that's creating what I want to see created, and what formula am I not using to not get what I desire, not see what I desire to see?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer came, and the answer was, I needed to not doubt. I needed to not have any disbelief. I needed to believe that a way was going to be provided, and not think that I had lack and that I didn't know how things were going to come out for me. So when I put the formula together, it became thought equals intention,
mm-hmm.
equals belief, and that belief carries me into an action state of mind, and the actions bring about the results. So it's cause and effect all together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was shown to me, many years ago. So I just changed my thinking around and stopped asking, how is this possible? Or how can this possibly happen for me? Or putting stumbling blocks in my way. I've gone like full circle, and to not believing that things can happen to believing and knowing that they happen at the moment I have the thought that I, desire.
And that's a really important thing, because some people have been hitting their heads against the wall for a long time. And I know I go through this just like anybody else does, and I know better. And so I find myself catching myself and going, man, I don't even want to go there, because I know what happens when you keep ruminating about what you don't have. And I mean, it like puts your feet in cement, you can't do anything, and it just gets worse and worse, and more crap piles on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend to have very little patience with people that are trying to keep me back in that. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I have done some beating the head on the wall in the last few years, trying to get people to understand, just don't even go there. Just look at where you want to go. And I keep thinking about Tony Robbins, and one of the things he said when he was learning how to drive race cars,
mm-hmm.
and his instructor said, don't look, if you get into a spin, don't look at where the car's heading, look at where you want to go.
Mm.
Because if you look at where the car's heading, you're sure enough going to crash into that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look to where you want to go, which is to be back on the straightaway, then that's exactly where you're going to go. And that is such a great kind of an example, because look at how many people take their attention and they stick it on exactly what they don't want, and then they wonder why nothing changes. And, the whole thing that quantum physics shows now about how, time doesn't actually exist,
mm-hmm.
and everything's always happening at the same time. And then people say, oh, yeah, well, then how come I'm, experiencing this sucky life? And I ask them, how much attention are you paying to it?
Mm-hmm.
And, if you've paid a lot of attention to it, it may take a little while to get out of it, doesn't it?
It takes an awful long, if you want to say time, it takes an awfully long time to reroute the thought pattern and reroute the thought frequency vibration, because you've been in that vibration of lack, lack of a mate, lack of a job, lack of money, lack of a house, lack of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep focusing on that, and that's where your energy is going, that's where your belief is going, that's where the frequency is going to the universal mind, and it's being repeated back to you or reflected back to you exactly what energy you are focusing on the most. If you focus on what a beautiful outfit I have on, or what beautiful clothes people are always giving me, that's going to be your reality in due time. And it may take 21 days, it may take 200 days until you really have matched your frequency compatibility with your thought and your belief frequency. So people don't realize, Dr. Valerie, they do not realize the power that we've been given, the power we've been inherited with, of the word, and how we can make the word into flesh. They have you know, I can't say millions of people are like that, but there's enough people to know that they believe my thoughts have nothing to do with where I am now and in the problems that I have. My thoughts can't possibly have anything to do with creating my reality. That's the belief that they have. And to break that belief, I can't do it, but I can help guide you to where you need to be or where you desire to be. I can't do it for you.
Yeah, I think I've been struggling with this problem for a long time of how to get people to get off of the treadmill of doing it, you know, and to focus all of their attention in doing what they need to do to move forward. And, you know, everybody just looks at me like, yeah, right. <You know? laughs> They look at me like I'm crazy and that can't possibly be that way. Or maybe they've heard it, but they don't really get it, because I think what happens is they try to do something too big too quick. And then when it doesn't happen, they go, oh, yeah, I knew this was a bunch of BS.
Yes.
You know, can't really happen.
Mm-hmm. Especially with healing, they're focusing many times on what they don't see. They're not focusing on, like, the goal of where you want to go, like the Tony Robbins situation, not looking forward, but looking at the spot where they are now and thinking, how can I, going back to my question, how can I possibly be healed or how can I possibly get healed? You're putting that doubt into the universe's mind, universal mind, creative mind. You're putting that doubt there, and so you have to be fed back exactly what you put out there. You mm-hmm. have to, there's no, that's the principle. That's the universal principle. That's the universal law. You cannot change universal law, which is that which you think is what you are. And so many people have put it so many ways, and James Allen is a very good example of an author who, you know, who says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Well, that is so true. I mean, that's one of the universal principles we have yet to fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah,
you know,
a lot of it is just habit, you know, because we're all raised by parents who, a lot of them just worried, you know, because they came through the Depression and life really sucked, and so they teach us how to worry and be critical and judgmental and all these things that stop us dead in the water. And, you know, if people would stop trying to make it so hard and stop believing that it's going to work for everybody else but them, and instead just let it go and just relax and just, you know, just kind of ease into it. And one of our listeners is asking, what can you do to raise your vibrations and pattern? You know, how can you speed up the process?
You want an answer? She's on mm-hmm. third. Okay.
Yeah, she's on the fast chat. She's asking.
Okay. If you want to raise your consciousness really quickly, all you have to do is decide, my consciousness is raised now at the right vibration that I can perceive myself to be raised at. When you're holding the thought that you're not vibrating at a faster rate, then of course that's what's going to be responded to you by universal mind in accordance to your belief. But you just take a step to the right or the step to the left and choose to change where you think you are, and then mm-hmm. perceive that you are where you are because you have, earned it. You've earned the right to be in the right perception, the right consciousness of who you are. Just get rid of, just throw things away in the trash bag, emotional, negative mental attitudes and mental thoughts. Just throw those away in a trash bag. Put it out on Wednesday night and get rid of it. Stop holding on to the fact that you think that your vibration isn't raised enough. All you want to do is believe in the truth. You want to believe in who you are. You want to believe in your purpose. And you want to be of service in a very loving and kind way. And those things will be added unto you exactly what you want.
Yeah, it's much simpler than people try to make it.
Yes.
I think, you know, we've all gotten so used to struggle. and have kind of fallen into that subconscious belief that life is struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it isn't, you know, but it also is, you know, everything goes in a cycle. So if people have been stuck in a cycle of struggle for a long time, then the question is, all right, but it wasn't that way all the time, was it? And so what was different about, you know, that period of time when you weren't in struggle? And, you know, as I look back on my own life, I can say that sometimes we're trying to do too much too fast, and we're going about it the old-fashioned hard way. Whereas if we did what you just suggested of just kind of, you know, changing your perception of yourself and allowing yourself to be in that higher vibratory level.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do that, you know, by kind of separating where your consciousness is, then the easiest thing to do is help somebody else.
Easy,
you know, and not to the point, yeah, not to the point where you're hurting yourself, but, you know, go volunteer for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help somebody that's less fortunate, and or just go do something that nobody knows about. Like, you know, one of my favorite things when I was out hiking a lot was just to go clean up some place where people had been drunk or whatever, and they left their bottles and their beer cans and all that stuff. I'd just go take garbage bags with me when I was out hiking,
mm-hmm.
and I'd pick up the trail. Nobody knew I was doing that.
Yes.
But I was helping, and by doing that, I raised my own vibratory level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about how wonderful it would be for someone to come out and enjoy that beautiful spot without all the garbage there.
Yes, and you felt good.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. And so people can do that all kinds of ways. Some people love kids, you know. So if they went to the local library or, you know, wherever, to an elementary school, and they just volunteered for a few hours once a week to be a reader,
mm-hmm.
they just sat down and read to little kids, or, you know, just kind of watched them at recess or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or even go into the hospital and volunteer as a letter writer. And I can remember doing that when I was in nursing school. I would take a few hours on one of my days off, even though I was working as an aide while I was going to school, and I was in the hospital 40 hours a week. I would put on street clothes, and I would come back on my day off for a couple of hours and just go and write letters for people who couldn't write, and they were so happy
mm-hmm.
that somebody would actually take the time to do that for them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big, hairy deal. It can just be something simple. But then after a while, people will get their self-esteem built up to where they can say, yeah, I'm a good person, and I do deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, you know, one of the biggest sins that we have is the sin against ourselves, you know,
yeah.
where we don't love ourselves enough.
Right. I have a book that relates to that exactly, which I think you've read, Supervitamize, or is it Americans Saving Ourselves Together?
Americans Saving Ourselves Together, and that's a really neat little book. Talk about some real quick, easy articles about things that you can do, like the cure for unhappiness and taking
mm-hmm.
care of yourself and being your own faithful servant and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to help kids and things like that, Secret Weapon Against Sadness. And that's a neat little book. And then I'm enjoying that, going, well, that's a brilliant idea. Can I be one of your authors? I want to be part of this, Daya.
In the next series, yes.
Yeah,
course.
Let me know for sure. That would be awesome.
Okay.
And then the other book, The Only Way Out Is In.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I went around the country and I was doing my little quantum vortex thing and I'd be talking to people and taking them through meditations and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I would have people say, well, do we have to have this kind of equipment? Do we have to pay this kind of money that you did to get this equipment? And I said, no, haven't you been listening? You know, and the only reason I bring the equipment is because it's bling and I can get everybody's attention because they're going, ooh.
Uh-huh.
And then when they experience the field, then they can get to know it. And once they feel that zero-point energy field,
mm-hmm.
then they know when they achieve it themselves, which they can achieve through meditation or prayer or just a joyful moment. But they need to know what that feels like if they haven't experienced it before. And, you know, that's where the healing is. That's where, you know, as healers, we go there to access that for our people. But we don't think about it. We don't think that other people don't know how to access that, you know?
Yes.
And so with teaching people how to do that and teaching them to do things that are life-affirming and help them to love themselves, then that's oftentimes all they have to do to turn their lives around and just to, you know, get out of the poor little me pity party thing that's going on and the oh, it always happens to me stuff. And I keep thinking about that cartoon. I'm going to really date myself now. You know, the little Abner cartoon where Joe Bizzlefix was always walking around with a black cloud over his head. And wherever he went, you know, the black cloud was raining on him. Yeah, everybody else was in the sun.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we do the equivalent of that kind of stuff all the time. And one of the things I really love about your books, Reverend Daya, is because you have been through so much yourself that, you know, and pulled yourself up by the bootstraps and got out of it. And, you know, the way that you write is really uplifting. And I think it's really a gift, you know, that you've given to the rest of the world as you brought these lessons through yourself. And you've got plenty of things in these books to help people to have some hope. And I really think hope is one of the most precious commodities that we have.
Yeah, we should not down ourselves or believe that there isn't an answer for us. One of the things that I've learned through Spirit speaking and teaching and talking with me is that we're all guided by the Holy Spirit every single moment of every day. And we have to listen. We have to be willing. If we want our prayers answered or solutions given to us, we have to be willing to get to that 0 point, to be quiet, to be silent, to be still, and breathe. Allow yourself to just breathe deeply and see how much quieter you become. See how much you're in tune to listening to what's happening inside of you, to the answers. And you can do the same programming before you go to sleep at night. Just mm-hmm. breathe. Still every part of your body. Just allow every part to be still. Quiet.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I do with people who are not lifetime meditators, is I'll teach them that, the breath meditation, you know, mm-hmm. where you just listen mm-hmm. and you just breathe and, you know, for as long as you can until the monkey mind jumps in and then you start it all over again. And I find that's the quickest thing to get people through that. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many people say, man, you know, when you get to like 5 minutes of no thought, it's like taking mm-hmm. a 2-week vacation. And that's exactly it, because look at all the worries we have thrown at us all the time. I mean, basic survival that really not too many people in the modern world thought they would ever have to deal with again. You know, we've come together in these huge communities, and everybody provides whatever somebody needs, and, you know, mm-hmm. you can get anything you want usually within a week or so. Mm-hmm. And so there hasn't been that desperate need for food and for shelter and things like that. You know, it's almost a rarity, or it had gotten to that. It's not a rarity anymore. Now there's
yes.
plenty of people that are homeless and hungry and have no idea where the next penny is going to come from. And so, you know, I was just talking with a psychologist today, and she was telling me, you know what? She said, I turned my phone off. She said, I have gone for weeks without picking up the phone because I can't bear to hear another person's sad story. She said, they're freaking out. And, you know, I just kind of, I had to laugh, you know, because I get the same thing. The difference between us, though, and the people that are freaking out is that our identity is not wrapped up in the house or in the job or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Our identity is led by the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit,
yes.
or whatever
yes.
you want to call it, you know, great
yes.
mystery, prime
yes.
creator, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we have that connection that we've developed over all these years and going through these hardships, mm-hmm. then, you know, we're able to take these things a lot easier than the people who have not taken the time to do that or don't have the natural connection.
Yes.
So go ahead, sorry.
Or the natural inclination to do that. They're thinking
exactly.
that there's no answer.
Yeah. And really, there's tons of answers. You know, I just wrote an article a couple days ago that I put out for publication on the web, mm-hmm. and it was about that very thing. It's like, look, if your job suddenly goes bye-bye and you're upside down in your house payments or your car payments or whatever, then, okay, grieve about it for a day or two, but then figure out what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, figure out what you can get rid of that's really not necessary in your life. And, you know, do things with other people so that everybody is actually helped by that. And we're seeing a lot of that happen here in Sedona and in other communities where people are coming together more than ever before. And I have to think that that's really the grand plan.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, what else would have done that? If everybody was really happy and successful, they'd be like, yeah, screw you. I got my big house and car, and, you know,
yes.
I'm going on my vacation. I don't care what happens to you. And now everybody's like, oh, crap.
Yes.
So now we have to work together, which I think is fabulous. And I noticed it happening last year, actually, about this time. And, you know, after traveling around the country a couple times, first year I said, oh, my God, we're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The second year I said, well, there's some hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last year I went, wow, look at that. People are actually coming together. Who would have thought?
Yes, yes, that's great.
Yeah, and so it's fabulous.
Yes, and it's all a part of the declutterization of the planet, of Earth, of ourselves, of things that we don't need, and ideas that we don't need to cling on to. And people wonder, you know, just how do you stay so happy or peaceful, or what do you do to stay so happy and peaceful and not allow things to bother you? And I had no idea that people were even wondering that. And I find, you know, they have this question, and some are brave enough, I call it, but brave enough to ask me, because they really want to know. And the one thing you have to remember is that happiness is not outside of yourself or because you have something. It's within you. You are it. You are happy, and you're happy, and your happiness radiates out to others because you're glad to be here. You're glad to be of service. You're glad to be on Earth. And there's nothing that can, for me, there's nothing that can take my attention away from take my energy away from my solar plexus or my sun center unless I choose to allow it to do so. So one of my statements comes from Dr. Emmett Fox's book on the mental diet, the 7-day mental diet, and that is you don't allow anything to take your attention away from your peace of mind. And if you falter the first day, then you got to do it again for 7 days until you get it right.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people are looking for, okay, what do I do? It's great what you're talking about, but how do I do this myself?
Mm-hmm.
And this show is all about helping people in every aspect of their lives. That's what enlightened medicine is really about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody wants to know, okay, but, you know, how do I get out of this mindset? If somebody's been in a particular mindset their entire life, then this whole thing of being happy sounds impossible to them. And they're wondering, you know, how am I going to get a bit of that happiness for myself? How do I manage to do that? And if people could take 7 days and do that mental diet,
mm-hmm.
man, I mean, that could change everything. And I can tell you, when I got back on my spiritual path years ago, one of the things that I had to do, because I've been so cerebral most of my life,
mm-hmm.
I had to pull my head out of the dark nether regions where it had been buried for a while. And it's about as delicately as I could put it. And I had to shut the heck up.
Mm.
And I spent about 2.5 weeks being absolutely silent. And it was rough because I was in a house full of teenagers and other people and adults and things. And we still had to work together and do things. And so if I really needed to speak to somebody, I had to write it down.
I see.
And it was tough for about the first 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then it started to be kind of fun. And then I was really, really enjoying it. You know, at that point, I was just really happy that I was doing something like that because I started to realize the value in it. You know, I started to feel what was going on with other people. I was able to see what was really running them you know, the patterns and things. And it's really interesting to see how crazy some people get if there's not a constant give and take going on. You know, if there's not that verbal stuff, they get very, very uncomfortable with silence. So even the people that I was with in the group that knew I was doing this mm-hmm. started to kind of flip out. And I got really amused. I just kind of sat back there and watched that. And every mm-hmm. once in a while I'd write something down on my little pad of paper. You know, why are you so anxious about this? And I just watched such craziness go on around me. And I thought, wow, isn't that really interesting? Because I'm still here. I'm still interacting with these people. But I'm not interacting the way that they're used to. And just that little bit of change flipped them out. And now if you look around with what's going on with people, lots of people are going silent. They think they're just depressed and they don't want to talk to anybody. But really, what they're doing with their silence is they're going within. They're just not conscious of it. Meanwhile, it's flipping out their families.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think if people would grab a copy of your books, you know, and take a look, because I know that you very much teach the A Course in Miracles, which I love. I've been yeah. recommending that to people for years. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what was on my path mm-hmm. to achieving peace. And, you know, if people could do little things, like what would you say people could do, something little that they could do for maybe a minute, several times a day, that would bring them peace?
Finding out, looking around you, finding out, instead of saying, like if you're at work, for example, instead of looking around and seeing a coworker that you thought you disliked because they did this or did that, you look around and say, wow, I'm really glad to be in this environment with her. She brings so much to the office in this way, a specific way. She mm-hmm. always brings flowers to the office to brighten up the place. Even though she may be a gossiper, you can, you know, if you want to get into that, even though she may be a gossiper, I still love how she brings beautiful things into the office. Or even if it's a hymn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you lift up other people and you lift up yourself at the same time, because you're speaking the words of praise and gratitude and just love. And when you drop all the stuff about all the drama about, oh, this person's, her clothes are always too short, or I always see them stealing things out of the drawer of the main office, or stealing food out of the refrigerator. Instead of being a gossiper, just try to change around, not try, but make it mm-hmm. your intention to lift people up and not bring them down, because you only bring yourself down and you get a label about being a gossiper or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. It reminds me of something I was reading. Actually, I think it was in the Book of Knowledge,
mm-hmm.
where they were talking about it's a thing where people are testing people now,
mm-hmm.
and where you end up depends on where you are in your heart as you're being tested. So it behooves us to be in the place of love and joy and innocence, rather than to be, you know, always judgmental and critical, thinking somebody is, you know, not as good as us, or they're rotten people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they said in that book mm-hmm. is not only are people judging each other without knowing it, you know, or testing each other, but also if you go and put somebody down, then you are going to be dragged down to that exact same degree or more. And so, you know, there's none of this, you know, pulling other people down and stepping over their heads, you know, and climbing up the ladder. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Because we are in more of a time of judgment right now than the planet's been in for quite some time. So basically, this whole upliftment thing, you know, I mean, if people are struggling with people that are really being nasty to them, that's all I can say is, like, you know, don't give in to that that feeling that you may want to because you've been hurt by that person or whatever. Don't give in to that.
Yes.
You know, instead just keep going, you know. Put your mm-hmm. feet in front of each other and, you know, keep walking the higher path. Because as you judge them, so shall you be judged.
Exactly. And just doing what we just said, you know, about being grateful and lifting up someone with your words and your thoughts, that, how long does that take you? A couple of seconds, maybe 5 seconds, to think a beautiful thought about someone and change your unhappiness, miserable self, unhappy, miserable self, to one of a, well, I'm in the process of being happy. I may not be there yet, but I sure am working towards it. You know, that kind of thing. And it only takes a couple of seconds.
Well, unless they've really been practicing the negative side for a long time, it might take them a few minutes. It depends on how much they hate that person.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Hate is just not happening. I have a cartoon where this one lady, I love drawing, so I have a Dabney's Handbook on A Course in Miracles. One of the people inside is in a ditch about maybe 3 or 4 feet deep. And so she's miserable because there's a lady on top of the ditch reaching down with her hand on top of the lady's head who's in the ditch. And so she's being in an unforgiving nature, and the one in the ditch is being unforgiven. And so she can't go anywhere, right? The one on top can't leave. She can't go into the bathroom. She can't read. She can't do anything because she has to stay there with that hatred and unforgiveness to keep the other one down. And so what does that get them?
That's a good one. I like that.
It gets them neither of them nowhere. So forgiveness has to be a big part of you taking a couple of seconds and just spend, you know, time saying, I forgive you for what I think you did, even though in God's eyes there's nothing been wrong or nothing been done to need forgiveness for.
Right. Well, and it really brings out, you know, what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having been on the other side several times myself, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that this is like a video game. Mm. And nothing is hard when you're on the other side. It's only on this side it's difficult. And we are really dense, you know. But on the other side, oh, my God, it's so easy. It's nothing.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. It's just so, so easy. And, you know, here we have to work through things. And so here's another question. How do you handle a situation when someone does something really bad to you and you're in the middle of it? And we're talking things that could be life-threatening, you know, legal matters, things like that. So what's the first thing somebody can do about that to get out of it?
Ask to be shown another way of looking at it, because there is another way of looking at it. Just ask Christ to show you, or ask the Holy Spirit, or ask God to show you another way of looking at it. Give me a different perception, and you will get that different perception. Show me a better way to feel about this, please, and you will get the better way to feel it. If you're willing, you know, Dr. Valerie, if I am in a situation like that, I ask to be shown how to surrender that feeling that makes me feel yucky about mm-hmm. this person. I surrender that feeling to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or to God, creative mind. I surrender. And so if I surrender, I can't take it back, can I? I can't take that feeling, that thought back. I can try to take it back, and I can keep going in the process of surrendering until it's really done. So I may have to forgive that person or the situation 70 times a day for 7 days until I have no longer any yucky feelings going on in my heart center or my mind.
Because those feelings just hurt the person. I mean, they hurt the person who's experiencing them, not the person that's causing all the bad vibes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I did the 70 times 7 times 7 mm-hmm. with my my late husband, and finally mm-hmm. I would go into the laundry room. Boy, I ironed his shirts within an inch of their lives. Let me tell you, that was always a good time to go do the ironing, because I hate ironing. Uh-huh. And I'd be in there ironing like 27 Hawaiian shirts, and I'd be like, you know, calling them all kinds of names. I was so mad. And yes. I would finally get to the point where I calmed down enough to talk to God, and I'd be going, listen, God, I don't deserve this, you know, I really don't, at least not from this lifetime, and if I do deserve it, it must have been from a really bad lifetime, but for this lifetime, I'm telling you, I don't deserve this, and, you know, something's got to change,
uh-huh.
because this is just, you know, unacceptable. And I'd get all done, and I'd mm-hmm. walk out the door, and everything was completely changed. Mm-hmm. It was like, it never happened. And I thought, man, that's really weird. <You know? laughs> And it kept happening that way. I was like, oh, my God, this is wild. Because I'll just be going, I've had enough. I can't take this anymore. You know,
uh-huh.
and, you know, this has got to change. And I'd walk out and it was all changed. Mm. And, you know, I've had so many things like that happen in my life that you just have to start to laugh about it. And when these people are wringing their hands and going, oh, I don't know what to do. No, it doesn't work for me. Of course it works for you. It doesn't work for me. I have to go, well, what did you try?
Uh-huh.
Because yeah. I know what worked for me. And, you know, I know it takes a little bit of effort. Well, it takes a lot of effort sometimes, especially when you want to call that person every name in the book. You know? I still call them those names, and then I go, sorry, God, forgive me. And then I send out that thought to the person, forgive me, you know,
yeah.
cancel all that, because I don't want to create any harm. But
right.
it's just really funny, you know, because, I mean, you have to laugh at yourself when you get in those kind of situations.
You do. And if you get into a situation where you want to pity yourself as well, well, give yourself 5 minutes to be in a pity party and then get over it. Get beyond it. Don't carry that energy around with you that you don't want. Do not carry that energy
more.
Around. Yes, that's exactly.
Yeah, you would attract more things like that until you finally get that lesson and you just decide that you're just not going to deal with that kind of stuff. I know, I go through that periodically where I'll realize that I've attracted the kind of people into my life that I really don't want to deal with. And so I will try to do everything I can mm-hmm. to learn the lesson and get it over with. And then I bless them, and then it's like, all right, you know, it's a dusting of the hands. I'm done. Goodbye. And these people are like, what? I'm done.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Goodbye. You know, I don't want to live that way. I you know, I don't want to be presented with the same old thing over and over and over because somebody else can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when yeah. I try to help somebody to get past it and they won't let go of it, then it's like, all right, I'm done. You know, I did everything I could.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't magically make somebody be suddenly brilliant about this stuff. They have to do the work. I had to do the work. They have to do the work. You know?
Yes. That's really important. It goes back to what I said earlier about how I can just like you can lead people to the right thought pattern that they might entertain,
mm-hmm.
But you cannot make them, just like, you know, Christ can't make you think a certain way. It's your free will. But if you get all the help you want when you surrender the feelings that you no longer want to entertain, or the situation you no longer want to entertain that's not good for you or healthy or happy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and you can always ask. You ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
But I always tell people, be careful what you ask.
Mm.
Because I've had so many people make the mistake of asking for strength or courage. And I would say, oh, my God, do you know what you're asking? Because, you know, if you're really wanting to develop strength and courage, then God bless you, because, you know, that does have to happen at some point in our evolution, several times. But what you're asking is to be given the gargantuan Herculean task. And that can really turn you on your head. You know, all of a sudden your whole life is destroyed and you're going, what the hell happened? And, you know, if you could see council members, you know, your guides on the other side, they're saying, what the hell is she talking about? This is what she asked for.
Yeah.
You know, she said she wanted this. Okay, we're giving her some strength. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that, you know, poof, the magic wand comes out of the sky and bonks you on the head and suddenly, you know, you're free of X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, now you're going to get the real trials. And, you know, by hook or by crook, by the time you're done with those trials, you will have strength and you will have courage. You may not have sanity, but you'll have those two things.
True, very true.
You know, I have to say, if it wasn't for A Course in Miracles, I don't know how I could have gotten through the last 30 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
really.
About that, yes.
Yeah.
It's when Chris and I were introduced to A Course in Miracles, we read the first couple of pages and we said, this is not for us. And a year passed by to the day, pretty much, when we were reintroduced to it by a different person who happened to know the first person that we were introduced to it by. And we all started the study group that time because we knew it was for us that time.
Mm-hmm.
We just weren't ready for the teaching and the learning and changing of thought patterns that it was suggesting that was going to happen. And so I welcome it. I welcomed it, and so did Chris, into our lives. And it's really, it was something that we asked for, but we didn't know we were asking for it. All the truth that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really an interesting thing that book was not written to bring the truth. It was written as a ploy, actually, if you know the history behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I mean it was one of those things where, you know, everything serves God's plan.
Yes.
And so the guy that wrote it was complaining about it for years, you know, and that was, you know, like that was the worst thing that he could have done, probably because he got in a lot of trouble because it had the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of leading people down a false path, it led them down the right path unbeknownst to him and his higher-ups that were trying to, you know, herd the sheeple. I laugh so hard, you know, when I think about that, about how eventually everything does serve the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were going through the Bush years and stuff, I have several friends here who were just rabid about Bush and how evil he was and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, it takes a really incredible spirit to be able to be hated by millions of people like that. And, you know, when you consider that when we come here, all we want is love.
Yes.
And so when you have someone who comes in and takes on that kind of a job to be the focus of negative energy, then, you know, if you can look at it from the higher viewpoint, then you start to see, well, would I want that job? Hell no. But there's somebody there that's strong enough to take it. And so even though, you know, most of us didn't like him or like what he did,
mm-hmm.
it really was what was one of the things that started us all getting together. And so I look at all that now and I think, you know, if people only knew that all the rotten, nasty things that have been foisted upon us have really forced us to finally come together. And we may be getting more. You know, it may be getting a lot worse. I don't know. So I think it really behooves people to learn to find peace within themselves no matter what's going on around them, because you can't control what's happening out there. All you can control is you and your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen far too many people go off the deep end over stupid little things that really didn't matter. What are they going to do when the really heavy stuff hits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the lessons from A Course in Miracles, for example, you really don't know what anything is for. You've put that perception onto the thing or the people or the situation. When you really learn what things are for, then you really know not to be bothered by it, whatever mm-hmm. it is that seems to be messing with you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's all learning experience. You know, I mean, there's a lot of sucky things that happen in life, and you know, we, for the most part, do have to go through them to learn. And, you know, I think whenever people start telling me, oh, you know, I just wish everything would be just smooth and easy, It'd be like, yeah, you'd be like that. You'd be happy about that for a little while, and then you'd need a challenge. And human beings do need a challenge to grow. It doesn't have to be a bad challenge, you know, but
yeah,
they need something to challenge them,
mm-hmm,
so that they grow and they become what they're really supposed to be. And, you know, some people are stubborn and they got to go through the bad stuff. And I'm raising my hand and waving here. I have a very hard head, apparently. So I have knocked my brains against the wall many, many times. And it's just really kind of funny what we do. But, you know, other people, they can take a hint and they can go, oh, yeah, well, I don't really want to go down that path. Because, you know, I don't want to hurt my head against the wall. And others of us go, yeah, well, I think I can go right through that wall. So,
wow,
you know, we get what we need to learn.
Yes, we sure
do. And then hopefully we get the lesson. You know, if you keep getting the same pattern repeated again and again and again, you're not getting the lesson. You know, and it's time to change your thinking and really change your perception.
Yes.
And make some decisions. Now, you do Reiki, too, and I'm just wondering, are you doing any kind of Reiki on people now to help them to change their thought patterns?
Only with the people who ask. There are people who say they want help and don't really want the help, and you know who that is or who they are when they're talking with you. But the ones that want help, yes, yes. And I belong to the Healers International group, and so I know that people who are writing for distant healing, absentee healing, I know that they really want help, and so I give my time to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when they're ready, they're ready. You know, finally the glimmer comes in, like, hey, you know, maybe I've been going about this the wrong way, and I could use some help.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they still have to do the work, though.
Yes, they do. They have to hold the truth. They have to hold to the truth, and they have to be willing to surrender again. That word comes up for us all the time. Surrender, 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 surrender. Be willing to do that. And you see things resolve. You see things, you know, whether it's healing or financial situations, you see things come to a healing. When they
yeah, and that asking
so
has to be there first,
yes,
and the surrender. I've surrendered many times, mm-hmm, in my spiritual journey, and I mean, I had a time there where I was so mad, I was screaming at God, jumping up and down in the middle of the living room.
not on a cliff or anything, right?
No, not on a cliff. No, I always jokingly tell people, you know what, I am not suicidal, I am homicidal. <You know? laughs> Somebody made me that miserable, I pushed them off the cliff. But not myself. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I was jumping up and down yelling at God and going, listen, this has to change right now. And nothing changed. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't take this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then finally I got so mad I went, you know what? I'm not going to do a damn thing. I'm going to sit on the couch, watch the TV until they disconnect my satellite. I'm going to eat until food runs out.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to work. I am going to just play. And I'm not doing another thing until you move me.
Mm.
And it worked.
What happened?
Well, I finally decided, you know what, I give up. That's it. I surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I have no clue what my next move needs to be.
Mm.
I have no idea how to get out of this mess. I have no idea where I'm going. I thought I was going over here. But apparently, like the photon that the experimenters are thinking about, they thought me into another direction. and so, you know, I just kind of sat around, and then I just had a couple fantastic weeks after that and just completely changed my direction. But you have to really be willing to surrender, and maybe not as crazily as I did, you know, but I still have a little drama queen.
That's what you needed to do, right?
Yeah.
That's what you needed to do, yeah.
Exactly. I still have a little drama queen left in me, so, you know, I had to, I had to do it that way. I crack myself up all the time, you know. And so I had to go and do it, and it worked. But it worked really seriously because I surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yes.
said, God, I don't know what to do. And I just sat there until things were presented to me, and I was completely open. You know, it's not like I sat there with my arms crossed pouting.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little pouting, you know, as I was doing all this, but then as I was done, I just kind of just let everything go.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I sat
there.
That was
your action step.
Yeah, that was my action step. My action step was to do nothing, just let it go, and just let it percolate out there and let the universe bring me whatever I needed to get me in the right direction. And what I said was, you know, I don't believe that I need to go through more struggle. And what I basically said was, you know, show me the way to go in whatever direction I need to go next, according to my divine plan,
mm-hmm.
with grace and ease, please. I always tell people, don't forget the with grace and ease part.
Yes.
And because if you don't, you might get,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you get kind of like nailed to the wall. And so I had to learn the hard way on that one, too. But basically, by doing all that and really using A Course in Miracles as one of my books that really kind of helped me to get my head straight about all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
I was actually able to move into a direction I had no idea I was going to go in that really opened up a lot of things for me. And, you know, allowed me to develop that side of my being that I really didn't know I was on tap to develop. And, you know, other things like when I got the swine flu this last year, I was really sick. And, you know, discovered some things to do that get you out of it very quickly because the normal botanical stuff wasn't working. Nothing was working for people. And so I kind of sat there and I said, okay, show me what I need to do. And that's one of my favorite questions.
Yes.
Either the question, how do I do this, or show me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Not how
beyond
is it possible.
Shadow, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the grace and ease too. And I kind of sat there and I discovered some things about some things that I was doing that I'd been puzzling about for like a year. Some photographs that I took of the vortex that opens up the portal, you know, when I'm using these quantum physics devices. And I suddenly realized what I was looking at was the matrix. I was looking through the illusion to the construction of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a strange thing to come through my head while I was sitting there too sick to even sleep. And so, you know, it turned out to be an incredible blessing. I had so many revelations during that time. And if I hadn't been that ill, where I couldn't even look at TV, I couldn't read, I couldn't sleep, it was just really miserable. But if I hadn't been that sick, I would not have been just sitting there silent and unable to do anything else. And that's the extent that Spirit had to take me to get me to start paying attention.
Yes, I see. Yes.
And so some people will have that. Some people will have car accidents. They'll
yes.
have house fires. They'll have, like, cancer or AIDS or, you know, some catastrophic illness. You know, whatever it's going to take, then your spirit is going to bring that in for you so that you can learn your lessons. So the trick is to learn the lessons and move on and to be of joyful spirit while it's happening even.
Mm-hmm. And you can be joyful. I mean, well, there's just so many examples in people's lives that show you can be happy, you can be at peace with what's going on, and that makes you even stronger in the sense of being more fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hope people will pick up your books. Again, listeners, it's Americans Saving Ourselves Together, How to Thrive in the 21st Century.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a collection of articles and hints of, you know, things to do that would help. And then also, The Only Way Out is In. And I really enjoy that, and I think you would enjoy reading Dia's story also. because she just, you know, details how she basically had to start from nothing and build up into where she is now, and that she did it. She did it always with kindness and love in her heart. And Daya, I really have to congratulate you on that. I mean, that's what really impressed me as I read through your books, about how you maintained your joy and your peace no matter what weird things were happening around you.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. It's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to know that someone can do that, I think is important for other people, because humans learn by seeing and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if one of us can do something, all of the rest of us can do it too.
Yeah, and using the same principles, the same laws of the universe that I've used, they're there for everyone to use. It's not anything that's, you know, just for special people, so to
mm-hmm.
speak. It's the gifts are there for all of us to use.
And, you know, with what you're doing now, I know you have a healing center there in, you're in Florida still, right?
Yes, Central Florida. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you also take clients over the phone?
Not too often. I like to see people. I like mm-hmm. to be able to be in their presence. But the only time, I do absentee healing, but it's not over the phone or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't do it at all, but generally people are given an appointment and come here to the center.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't you go ahead and give out your contact information for people?
It's the phone number is 386-532-5308. The email address comes from our company, Paderan Publications. It's PADARAN at Paderan, PADARAN.com. And I have, I just started a blog talk radio show, and that's on Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you could go to blogtalkradio.com/Paderan and join in with questions or whatever, comments. I have different guests, too. So those
awesome.
Are the ways to contact me.
Great. Mm-hmm. And where are your books available?
You can get them online at alibri.com or amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or Paderan Publications, again, paderan.com, www.paderan.com.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a few places, you know, bookstores.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, listeners, there you got the information for contacting Reverend Daya and getting a hold of and get yourself an appointment at the Doolin Healing Center mm-hmm. and start working on yourselves. It feels to me like this is the year for people to go within and really work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel that.
Yeah, I've heard that from so many people, and it's funny how it switched. You know, just in December I started to get that, and I was like, wow, I wonder if it's just me or if it's everybody. I think it's everybody.
yes, and it's beautiful to see people like the lights going on inside the behind the eyes and their
yeah.
heart. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, wow, this hour has just shot by.
When you're having fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you
I'm
so
glad,
much. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad. I hope we've answered some questions here for people to apply to their lives.
I'm sure that we have, and, you know, I think that the listeners would really be doing themselves a favor if they would at least pick up a copy of your books and start to get into that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I highly recommend A Course in Miracles. I always have since I got turned mm-hmm. on to it.
Yeah.
That was the thing that really moved me from hard power to soft power
mm-hmm.
and really helped me to access forgiveness and to really bring that into my life and look at life a whole lot different than I had been. It gives one a lot of patience. And by the way, don't ask for patience, people, because your life will become miserable if you ask for patience. Oh, Lord. All kinds of crazy stuff happens. And yeah, you'll learn patience, but boy, oh, boy. Uh-huh. It can be a real roller coaster ride. So anyway, thank you so much for being on the show,
okay.
Reverend Daya. And
right.
You have a great time down there in Florida. I know it's cold, and that's kind of unseasonable for you guys even in the winter, but...
Yes.
You know, those of us
if
up here,
have...
we just keep saying, well, you know, God bless them, because we know that y'all aren't used to that.
Little newbies here.
yeah, your blood gets too thin. You know,
right.
Ours up here in Arizona is, but it's different. It's a dry heat, you know, and we have usually beautiful weather in the wintertime. We've had some cold days lately and some snow, and that's always nice. We enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thank you again. I so appreciate having you on the show. And again, listeners, we have been talking with Reverend Daya Devi Doolin from the Doolin Healing Center and Sanctuary in Florida. And please do check out her books, The Only Way Out Is In, and The Americans Saving Ourselves Together. I think you really enjoy them. And again, you can go to, I'm going to mispronounce this, but it's, I look at it as Potteron.com. I did list your information on my show information page.
Okay.
So listeners, if you have any questions, you can go there and click on there and email Reverend Daya. And also, our show has been brought to you by our beautiful people who sponsor us, that are the ones who create Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find them on the web, www.hydramay.com, HYDRAME.com, actual skin nutrition, all natural, organic. Please do give them a try. And as always, until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Okay.
A new day with you. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do